Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, where we're inside the studio. It's 71 degrees, and I don't know if it's clear skies or not. I don't know if you could say that, but the ceiling looks clean. All right, we're going to get to that story in just a minute. It's the weather we're talking about. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be with you inside.
Inside? Mm-hmm. Good to work inside today, isn't it?
Oh, man, I tell you.
Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Walker, tell us what we're going to be doing to make our program as widely available as possible today.
Yes, yes. As you know, we're live streaming on Facebook. You can go there and watch the show. Also, if you would like to listen on our website, you can visit afr.net, listen live there 24/7 as long as you have an internet connection. Also, you can download the AFR app on your smart device and listen through the app. Also, 24/7, as long as you have an internet connection.
You know, there's a smart device, Fred, right?
Mm-hmm.
This begs the question. Does anybody, as opposed to what?
A stupid device.
Huh? Or a dumb device?
Well, there are dumb devices. It was old cell phones that didn't do anything but text and call. Compared to the smartphones,
they were dumb, but nobody advertised them as, "Hey, come into our store. You can either get a smartphone or a dumb phone. It's your choice."
Yeah, there you go.
Huh?
When they first started out, I guess Walker, who is of that millennial generation, would refer to them as all dumb phones. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the shoe phones?
The shoe phones.
That's what they were called. I'm not talking about Maxwell
Smart.
You're talking about
the size of the phones. Yes,
it was like I can put my existing phone in my pocket. These were shoe phones.
Yeah, I remember those.
They were huge and heavy. Yeah. I mean, the battery on those things. Yeah. That's how it all started.
I think those were auctioned off by NASA. I think those were used on space trips, on the Apollo trips. All right, so good morning, everybody. Walker's got us rolling here on our Today's Issues Facebook page. If you want to watch the show, we say hello to you and watch or listen to the program there. Fred, the weather does lead the news, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said yesterday, if you look at a weather map on TV right now, I would say the majority of the country is in purple. Now, white is cold and blue is cold when they color map it. But
don't
purple,
get racial, Fred.
Purple is really
Please.
Color.
Huh?
Yeah.
Purple means what now?
Purple means like it's freezing out there.
Yeah.
Really cold. Now, when they do the weather forecasts, often they'll say the coldest spot in the United States, and you often hear it's International Falls, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's way up there next door to the Canadian border.
Minnesota.
International Falls. Today, this morning, minus 37. Minus 37.
And we're talking about when you go out to get your paper, just straight up, minus 37, not wind chill.
You know, when it gets down that cold, and I can say I've experienced these kinds of temps, when it gets down that cold, it really doesn't matter. It's really, really cold.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you will freeze flesh within a minute. I mean, it is dangerous. We're talking danger zone.
So when it's minus 37 without wind chill, you're saying it's gets to you don't say you don't call your neighbor and say, "Hey, if it gets to minus 22, we're going to go out and grill out. How about it?"
Yeah.
Too cold right now, huh?
You just don't go out.
You don't go out, huh?
You know, when we were talking about this yesterday, I mentioned about in a more serious vein on the weather, taking care of people.
Yes, and pets and
pets. We had a really good story, kind of a Good Samaritan story this morning on our newscast. I want to play it for you. It's out of Lake Orion, I believe it is, in Michigan. It's up there in the northern part of Michigan. And I want you to hear this story. It's a story about a lady who ran into a lot of trouble, and her neighbors came to the rescue when she faced some serious problems related to the weather. Cut four.
I think the computer's frozen up.
Oh, is that?
Oh, that's funny, Walker.
Yeah, you get it.
Kathleen Fudera says she has one word to describe her neighbors.
Heroes. Real heroes. Walking, talking heroes. Angels. I wouldn't have been able to make it the whole winter, actually, with this cold.
The Lake Orion, Michigan woman lost her job and was unable to pay for her electricity or natural gas service. She was forced to burn her furniture to stay warm. Noticing that the lights were out, her neighbors brought her wood, water, and food. They also started a fundraising page on social media to get her utilities turned back on. Kathleen Fodera says her neighbors have saved her life. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
Now, it may be hard to believe that in this country of the United States of America that you would have people in that desperate condition. She had to burn her furniture to stay warm. But it doesn't happen out there, folks. And that's what I was saying yesterday. You really have to watch out for your neighbors in these kind of conditions. The other thing that happens sometimes is that, you know, people don't keep track of if they have propane tanks out back that warm their house. They don't keep track of the fuel going down. And then you may have to go 2 or 3 days before the fuel truck gets there. But it means you don't have heat in your house. So got to be watching out for folks because this is serious weather. You know, we do, you know, how hurricanes affect people, tornadoes. But this kind of cold when it's minus 37 like it is up north in these International Falls, these other areas, this is serious stuff. People can perish in this kind of weather. When I heard that story this morning, I thought this is what we were talking about yesterday. But thank God for these good Samaritans. They're watching out for their neighbors. They noticed that her house was in darkness at night, and that's how it came. And this is another thing. A lot of these folks don't want to bother their neighbors. They'll try to tough it out by burning their furniture. So you got to sometimes knock on the door and make sure that if things are in trouble, that the neighbors come to the rescue.
Well, you know, we use the expression, Americans use the expression, I'm freezing to death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in these kind of situations, that's literal.
Yeah.
People can freeze to death. It doesn't take too long out in these kinds of temperatures.
Yeah.
Or even inside without heat. Mm-hmm.
And then you have the situation like in Erie, Pennsylvania, we talked about yesterday, 62 inches of snow. And then you add this kind of cold on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be praying for these folks, especially in that northern third tier of the country. They're going through some tough times right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, this the purple you're talking about, which would indicate the coldest air, is covering most of the Midwest and the Northeast.
Yeah, and it's edging down because we're talking in the southeastern part of the United States. Maybe by Sunday or Monday, you're going to see single digits. That's cold.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this. You telling me where I live? Single digits?
They're warning about that.
Yeah, with the wind chill.
Yeah.
So you're talking 15 degrees with the wind chill, maybe 9, 8 degrees.
Yeah.
So. Well, I know the Bible teaches us against hate, but I hate cold weather. I have to deal with that, struggle with that. That's part of the... I tell my wife that. Regularly I complain about that. But
we have
of course, I know when I say that, I'm going, so you live in Mississippi.
Right.
And you're complaining about cold weather. And we have so many friends who live in the North who say, cry me a river.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or cry me a frozen river, whatever the case may be. All right. What else is going on?
Well, let's talk about Rosie O'Donnell a little bit. I think most people know.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell was upset, this has been reported in the last few days, with Paul Ryan, House Speaker Paul Ryan, because House Speaker Paul Ryan put out a very nice Christmas message to people celebrating the reason for the season, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, Rosie O'Donnell... we need to pray for Rosie because, she just went ballistic against Paul Ryan. Said he's going straight to HELL there.
It's uncharacteristic of her.
Uh-huh. You screwed up, fake altar boy. All of these things. She went on and on and on. Anyway, and I think Steve Jordahl dealt a little bit with this yesterday on the program, but this morning Fox and Friends had Franklin Graham on to talk about this. And like Franklin Graham is, he never misses an opportunity to use criticisms like this of Christians to get the gospel out there. And cut number two is what we want, Devin, on this one. And this is what he had to say about in reacting to what Rosie O'Donnell was saying.
I'm glad to know that Rosie is a fundamentalist. She believes in hell. So many people don't believe in hell. Jesus preached on hell. He taught of hell. But I wanted Rosie to know she didn't have the keys to hell. Only Jesus Christ has those. And the Bible says, you know, we're all sinners, and the price for sin is death. It's hell. But God loved us so much, He sent His Son to take our sins on a cross, and He died, and He shed His blood for our sins. And if we're willing to accept that by faith and believe on Him and turn from our sins, we'll never have to fear of hell. God will forgive us and cleanse us. And I want Rosie to know that, and I want everybody who's watching Fox and Friends to know we don't have to go to hell. God wants to save us, and He sent His Son to take our sins. But we have to accept it by faith and trust Him and believe on Him. And so, Rosie, if you're watching, I hope you put your faith and trust in Christ, because He will forgive your sins and heal your heart, and you can have a new life and a new beginning if you put your faith and trust in Him.
I just love Franklin Graham because he never misses an opportunity to get the gospel out there. No matter what he's being, you know, interviewed about, he never misses an opportunity to get the gospel.
I also got to credit Fox News because very few places would allow a Christian evangelist to say what the things he just said. They basically let him say uninterrupted what he wanted to do there for about a minute. Mm-hmm. Other networks would stop you, cut you off, or censor you, or tell you before you come on, don't talk about this Jesus stuff.
Or never invite them again.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So good for them. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. If you want to send us an email, you can do that at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. As Walker told you earlier, we've got our Today's Issues Facebook page, which we live video stream, and Walker posts the stories that we talk about here there, so you can access them for yourself. Fred Jackson is with us. Fred's co-host of the program most mornings, as he serves also as the news director for American Family Radio and OneNewsNow.com. Well, by the way, what's at OneNewsNow.com? What can folks go and get there?
They can go to onenewsnow.com, and we have a sign-up area on that site. I can't encourage you enough to do this, folks. You can get a daily email, a summary of the top stories from One News Now, news from a Christian perspective. You can sign up there for that email. We will not send copious amounts of emails to you every day. One email a day, Monday through Friday, we will send that to you. You will have a summary of the top stories there. You'll have video content of stories like the weather story we're talking about, but also, you know, political stories that have, you know, from a Christian perspective. We talk to Christians who are in the know about what's going on about politics in this country, like Alex McFarland, Dr. Alex McFarland, people such as this, people from Family Research Council, from Christian legal organizations. We have them commenting on the major stories of the day. You can get that summary. Just go there, sign up, put your email down, and we'll start sending you that summary every day. It's a great resource for you.
Absolutely. Make sure you take advantage of that. Thousands of people get that new daily news brief, don't they?
It's a couple of hundred thousand now that have signed up for that.
A couple of hundred thousand?
Yeah. That actually...
Wow.
You know, I think what's happened, Tim and Walker, is that people realize that we are in the midst of cultural warfare. Mm-hmm. It's warfare. It's spiritual warfare that's going on out there. And they also know, coupled with that, is that the mainstream media has become very hostile to Christian values and to Christianity in general, true biblical Christianity. Mm-hmm. And so they know that that source of news is tainted, and more and more people are discovering that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they need another source. And I get calls on a regular basis every week into the newsroom, and they'll have a question. They want further information on a particular story. But then they say, thank you so much for what you guys do at American Family Radio and American Family Radio News. A lot of them say, it's my only source for news now because I've come to trust you guys. Often they'll say, I have AFR on in my shop at home every day. One lady called the other day. She said, I have radios in every room. And they had them tuned to American Family Radio.
Good
so when
her.
She's going through the house doing her chores, she said, I don't want to miss a thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a blessing when we get that kind of feedback.
We want to, our desire is to make more and more Americans addicted to American Family Radio, right, Ed?
Yeah,
Fred?
Sure.
Walker?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and there's no, you know, you can go to any rehab you want, but you can't escape us there. All right? We want as many people listening as possible. What did you think about this new poll out by Rasmussen, which is a very reputable polling service, and they're showing President Trump at 46% approval, 53% disapprove, which is exactly what President Obama had this day in his first year of his presidency. Did you find that sort of ironic?
This is interesting. Well, for number one, it's President Trump's approval rating is going up.
Yes.
President Obama's approval rating kept going down.
True.
So what happened with all the negative publicity surrounding everything that President Trump has been trying to do? A lot of people were getting their news from the wrong sources. So, you know, they started to paint in their mind this picture of President Trump as being a trouble problem for this country. But now they're realizing, to use a well-used phrase now, there's a lot of fake news out there about what's going on about President Trump. And so now they're starting to realize, and I think, you know, what happened with tax reform, and they start to see that the unemployment numbers are going down, employment numbers going up, consumer confidence. We talked about it yesterday, a record amount spent Christmas holidays, $800 billion spent during Christmas holidays. So they understand that despite what the mainstream media is saying, you know, the mainstream media is still going on about Russian collusion in the election, you know, and people aren't saying, okay, where's the proof? And after so many months, there's nothing there.
Right.
But what they are seeing is a country that has optimism again, economic optimism again. They like what President Trump is doing, and I think that's reflected in this Rasmussen poll.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that President Trump even has this high of approval rating, considering the daily bashing he receives on all the major networks. So that number, you take away the major network bias coverage that they do every day, that the world's on fire, that would probably be over 50%.
Yeah.
But he's battling all the major players, all the major media outlets. So that's good to see that his approval rating's where it is.
46% approve, 53% disapprove. As I said, according to Matt Drudge, it's the same as Obama's was. And as Fred noted, but Obama's was on a downward spiral. President Trump is ascending. Now, how far he can go up, I don't know, maybe 50, maybe a little bit higher, just because of what Walker mentioned and that half the country's maybe not half the country, but 40% of the country is basically liberal and is going to hate anything that he does. Mm-hmm. Although I got to tell you, even liberals like money. and if the economy, as I said earlier, it continues to improve as it has under President Trump's administration, and I think the reason for that, sometimes the economy, with the economy, presidents get too much blame. And they get too much credit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. They get too much blame and they get too much credit. I'll give you one example of that, not to rabbit trail too much here, but remember when we had the dot-com explosion in the 90s?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people got rich and the economy did so well until it imploded. Well, President Clinton was in office at the time. President Clinton didn't have squat to do with the dot-com industry. You know what I'm saying? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. To do with that, he was just the benefactor of that because he was in office and everybody said, well, what a great job Bill Clinton did with the economy. Well, so much of it was built outside of his control. That's my point.
Yep.
Well, with President Trump, I do think you can say he has had a direct positive influence on the economy for two reasons. One is consumer confidence, as you mentioned, because people feel they may not like, they might have not have voted for President Trump, but they feel like he's good for the economy. His ideas are good for business, right? Yeah. He's a businessman.
Exactly.
So that plays a big part into it. And number two, he's used his authority to institute a lot of deregulation. Okay. Through the agencies that the executive branch, that is the president, controls.
Yeah.
And so they're continuing to do that.
Namely the EPA. I read a story last week where the Trump EPA called the Obama EPA's new regulations based on, quote, phony science.
Yeah.
And so that they're going back and looking at the regulations and why the regulations were implemented in the first place, and they're realizing that all these regulations, many of them are based on false science, that what's called science, which is just basically opinion pieces. And so the EPA's pulling back all these regulations on coal and oil and drilling, et cetera, and that's causing these companies to be able to invest more and build more.
Yeah, I think what is happening, too, is that the mainstream media and their friends and liberal politicians have overplayed the cards. They really have.
Yeah.
They've been pounding away at things. And people are saying, wait a minute, all this stuff you were warning about is not happening. So where's the proof of all of this? It's kind of like, you know, climate change.
It's the little boy that cried wolf syndrome.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep pounding away and then nothing happens. In fact, the opposite happens. And they start saying, wait a minute, I can't trust you anymore.
Right.
And I think that's what's playing into these numbers for President Trump. I mean, here we are heading into 2018, and his popularity is increasing. Wait until folks start to see more in their take-home pay starting in February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these businesses, too. I was reading an interesting piece yesterday about a well-known television director. I've forgotten his name. But he was talking. This was a guy who's influential in Hollywood, and he was saying, "Hey, you have to give President Trump's tax cuts. You have to give him credit for that."
Yeah.
And the Republicans, even though this guy was probably a Democrat, because what happens is if you allow for the corporate tax cuts to take place, that's money that's going to be reinvested into the business or to research and development or to expansion or to compensating their employees more, whatever the case may be, that's going to be the purpose. That's going to be the net result of the tax cuts on the corporations. I didn't realize that we had the highest, well, I'd heard this before, but it never really hit me. We had the highest corporate tax rates in the world.
Yep, 35%.
Yeah, in the industrialized world.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
35%.
Mm-hmm. So now those have been cut, what, 14%?
Down to 21.
So we'll see. Mm-hmm. But as I said earlier, I think the basic reaction to this from the liberal media and the Democrats is they're scared it's going to work. Because if the economy continues to improve, as it has been doing, I mean, we have the lowest unemployment for black folks in 17 years.
That's right.
And I think it's the same with Hispanics.
Yes.
So the Trump administration and the ideas they've been putting into place is helping the minority community.
Yeah.
If you want to measure it by jobs.
That's right.
And people getting off welfare.
That's right.
So, you know, I think, as I say, I think the Democrats are scared to death. These ideas are going to show themselves to work, and they're going to lose a stronghold on voting constituencies that they've been counting on for years and years. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
Ding, ding.
Oh, really?
That's correct. Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want
cheeseburger without cheese.
Hold the cheese.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our spiritual heritage tours fill up each year several months in advance. And we've got the dates now for our 2018 trips. There are two tours. There's one to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington. And then there's a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, where we'll explore early American history. Now, if you want information on these tours, simply go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. Again, in June and September, you can go on one or you can go on both. They're back-to-back. We plan them that way. Again, June and September, Washington, D.C., and Williamsburg. For all the information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com, and I hope to see you on one of our spiritual heritage tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
Just about everybody has an airline horror story these days. Flight delays, the airline loses your luggage, they give away your seat to a congresswoman. But J.J. Jasper of Mississippi has a great airline story to share. Earlier this year, he surprised his daughter Sadie with a trip to New York City. Big celebration, Sadie was turning sweet 16. They told the flight attendant about their plans, and that's when she concocted a scheme to have a surprise birthday party at 30,000 feet. She gave Sadie a stack of cocktail napkins, and on each napkin was a birthday greeting or a piece of advice written by the other passengers. I'm sure Sadie had a wonderful time visiting the Big Apple, but years from now, when she looks back on her sweet 16, she's going to remember those cocktail napkins and the kind and thoughtful gestures of complete strangers, all because of a flight attendant named Heather. On American Airlines Flight 4689, I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson, and we thank you for listening to AFR and to this particular program, Today's Issues. We're here every Monday through Friday. Monday through Thursday, we cover the news and try to do so from a biblical worldview perspective. That's our goal and objective. Now, with the weather, you know, there's not a biblical worldview on the weather that I'm aware of, except that we have it and God created it.
That's right.
But some things are more directly related to our spiritual lives, but a lot of things we talk about are just events and things that happen in the news. But we do still try to keep looking at those things with truth, with facts, so that you can have the correct information, which, as Fred noted earlier in the program, is often lacking with the liberal news media in this country. Much of the news media, the mainstream news media, as we know, very liberal, and they slant things to a secular, progressive way, and they do that on purpose. So that's why we're here.
That's
AFR
right.
is to balance that or counterbalance that or try to attract people to listen to us so they can get what we do our best to provide, and that is just the truth.
And it's a wonderful mix in American Family Radio. You know, we have preaching programs. I think
right.
we have some of the best preachers in the country.
Mm-hmm.
People like Dr. David Jeremiah,
mm-hmm.
Robert Jeffress, First Baptist out of Dallas. I mean, those are some of the leading preachers in this country, and you can hear them Monday through Friday
mm-hmm.
Here at American Family Radio. So you put the news of the day together,
right.
good preaching programs
right.
like that to build you up spiritually, and that's a winning combination.
Absolutely. Hey, folks, speaking of that, we, you know, this is, we're coming to the end of 2017, and we would like you to consider a gift to American Family Association / American Family Radio in your year-end giving. I know that none of you think about this in terms of a tax deduction, but we do, you know, we're a charity, so if you want a tax write-off, you can do that as well. Do people think in those terms, Fred?
This time of the year.
They do?
Yeah.
Thinking selfishly about saving money?
Well, you know, good place to put your money and get a tax deduction too.
So a win-win, a win-win, right?
Yeah, it is.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
We all, a lot of people do that. They will make a year-end gift because they are looking
at smart.
They're looking at their taxes, and they believe in the cause and the mission of the organization that they're writing the check to. Amen. So I'm just saying, it's a win-win. So we want you to please consider us as the year-end for a year-end donation. And I'm going to give you the phone number now if you want to call and make a gift to American Family Radio to help us out, close out the year strong. we have share-a-thons twice a year, you know, in April and October. Otherwise, we don't ask for money.
That's right.
Except now. Huh?
Just a reminder.
Except now. Mm-hmm. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. I'm just saying, think of us as you make your year-end donations. Here's the phone number, 877-616-2396. If you want to make a special year-end donation to American Family Radio to help us continue on, I'm going to give you the number one more time, 877-616-2396. You can look us up on the internet. We're at American Family Radio, which is the parent ministry of AFR is American Family Association, and we've just completed celebrating 40 years of ministry. 40 years of ministry. My dad started this in 1977. You're listening to Today's Issues.
Just one add, and you know, we make the point of what's the difference between American Family Radio and NBC and CBS and all the rest.
Right.
Just think about the Jack Phillips case. He's the baker out of Colorado.
Yes.
That court case just a few weeks ago.
Yes.
The mainstream media, they were all for the homosexuals who have taken Jack Phillips to court because he wouldn't bake a cake for their wedding.
Right.
But we took a different perspective. We took a biblical perspective to this.
And a constitutional one.
And a constitutional religious freedom perspective on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference, folks.
And we interviewed his attorney.
Exactly. That's the difference. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's an important difference.
Well, joining us now, she does most weeks, is our good friend Jan Markell. Jan is president. Her radio program is called Understanding the Times. Her weekends here on American Family Radio. And she's the president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries. And she joins us now from inside her house, I think, in the Twin Cities area. Jan, good morning to you.
I promise you I'm not outside.
I said that's
not tolerable out there.
I put that one up on the tee for you there. I knew that's what you were going to say. Hey, Jan, is it true? I know that people that live up north get tired of Southerners asking them ridiculous questions about the cold, but we're just fascinated by what you guys have to live through. Is it true that if you go outside and threw a glass of water in the air, it would freeze before it hit the ground? Have you ever tried that?
I think that might be true somewhere up in the Northwest Territories, but we're not the Northwest Territories.
Oh.
This is Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's really very civilized here.
Oh, okay.
Extremely
okay.
Cold, that's all.
So where it's colder than you, maybe that might happen, right?
Yeah, okay. And honestly, you know, just go to the northern border of Minnesota, Canada, which is 5-6-7 hour drive, so it's quite a ways. And up there, oh, it's unspeakable. It's like Mars or the moon. Yeah.
Okay, you're not going to be hired by the Minnesota Department of Tourism. I don't think, Jan. Anyway, Jan, thanks for being with us. Olive Tree Ministries. Why don't you? I don't know if I've ever asked you this question. Where do you get the name of your ministry?
Well, it comes right out of the Bible because the olive tree has often been a kind of a, well, it's been a biblical symbol. It's often used as a symbol for Israel, as is the fig tree. But in the olive tree, there's kind of a coming together of Jew and Gentile, and that's one of the things we strive to do as well. But we heavily try to educate the church on issues related to current events, worldview, Bible prophecy, just sort of things that I'm playing a little bit off of what you and Fred were talking about a few minutes ago, and that is, what is the mainstream media talking about other than silliness and fake news? And organizations like yours and mine are trying to present the good news and God's news and views behind the news that are biblical and that are inspirational, that are encouraging, and sometimes that may appear dark. But dark headlines are not a harbinger to the Christian. They're really just a foreshadowing of our redemption that is on the horizon, I believe.
Jen, our relationship to Israel, by our, I mean the U.S. and the Christian community's relationship to Israel, two big issues that Olive Tree Ministries cover and that you talk about often on your program on the weekends. What are your observations with the change of administration now? We've been, 11 months into the Trump administration. He said when he was running for office he would be a close friend of Israel's and be different than what we've seen with President Obama over 8 years. Do you think he's held up to that?
I'm about to pre-record a program this afternoon that airs in the very near future with White House correspondent Bill Koenig. He's worked in the press corps since 2001, so he's been under several presidents, W. Bush, Obama, and now Trump. And I had a private conversation with him last evening in that he's kind of a Washington insider, at least to the Christian community. This is Bill Koenig I'm referring to. And he says he has never seen anything like it in his 15 years of being in the press corps. And he's saying that in a positive, very affirming way, that particularly when Donald Trump acknowledged Jerusalem kind of as the holy city, which, of course, Jesus is coming to return and rule and reign out of Jerusalem, so it's his holy city, and God has his name on it, according to Second Chronicles, several verses in Second Chronicles. But Koenig just says that he's just stunned by some of the things that are going on in a positive way. I mean, there's no perfection short of the Lord's ruling and reigning, but still a very positive move forward in so many respects, not the least of which is Israel-U.S. relations. I mean, they couldn't be better right now. We pray it's going to hold. We've got some sites in Israel being named after Donald Trump. I mean, the Israelis are stunned. Mm-hmm. Even the Israeli left stunned. and Bill Koenig said to me privately that the press corps he works with on a daily basis in Washington, they're having to acknowledge that, well, in fact, Donald Trump really is doing some things in his first 11, 12 months of being in office. And you know, they're not going to give him credit because they're all leaning so left, but they're at least acknowledging that he's accomplishing some things that he said he would do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Fred?
And that's such a key point. You know, Republican and Democrat presidents down through the years have all said, you know, we're good friends with Israel. We've got Israel's back. But President Trump has proved it in spades. I mean, the vote in the United Nations the other day, with regards to condemning the United States for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And President Trump didn't back down. His United Nations ambassador, Nikki Haley, did not back down. And we've got, a $284 million cut now in the budget at the United Nations.
Right.
And with regards to naming Jerusalem as the capital and moving the embassy there, I understand there are several reports now that 10 other nations may do the same.
That's right.
Guatemala, Romania, Slovakia, Paraguay, Honduras. Apparently, that's not official yet, but those are some of the countries who are saying now, because of what Donald Trump did, going forward and moving the embassy there, we're going to do the same thing. I think God is blessing this administration and will continue to bless this administration for its not only vocalizing a support for Israel and then not doing something, but actually doing something.
Absolutely. And how many others since 1995 have promised to do something? And, of course, they conveniently had to find an excuse to not move ahead with it. The process could take up to 2 to 3 years of actually getting an embassy moved. I don't think that's the point at this point in time. I think the point is the intent. And look, I mean, Jerusalem has been holy to the Jews for 3,000 years, holy to the Christians for 2,000 years. Islam didn't even come along until the 7th century, and they have a huge mosque there with a gold dome, as we all know. That seems to be the chief landmark, sadly. So I think it's maybe third in importance to Islam, but it's a very holy city to Jews and Christians. And the trip, and this is kind of old news, but it was last May that Donald Trump made to Israel last May to be the first president in office to stand at the Western Wall and actually pray at the Western Wall. I mean, that was historic in itself. So we've had an historic first year, and Donald Trump is very indebted to evangelicals, and everybody in Washington knows that. So, I mean, evangelicals put him in office. Maybe he wasn't our first choice, but I think most Christians are quite pleased with his first year.
Hey, Jan, thanks so much for being on with us. Appreciate it, and look forward to your show this weekend.
Thank you.
Understanding the Times here on American Family Radio. Give us the times.
We're on noon Saturday Central Time, and we're on 1 p.m. Saturday Central Time and noon Sunday Central Time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, Jan. Jan Markell joining us from Minnesota. She's the founder of Olive Tree Ministries. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network here. Yeah, President Trump is, you know, I will say this about President Trump. We've said it before, but he's pretty well following a checklist of things that he promised to do during the campaign. And he seems to be getting up every day. I say getting up every day. I don't even know that he sleeps. Maybe he does, but he doesn't appear to me to sleep much. And he's got a large collection of red ties. I know that too. Or it's the same red tie he cleans every day. I don't know. Kind of, I doubt that that's the case. But the point is, he's doing what he said he would do to the extent that he can. Sometimes his policies have been thwarted by the courts. We've seen that what they've done with he's tried to slow down illegal immigration. He's tried to do something about people coming here from countries that, you know, where we haven't been able to vet them well enough. They're coming from, have terrorist organizations as, you know, in their country. So he's trying to do those things to protect our nation. Of course, he's being met at every step of the way by the liberal media, as you mentioned, by the Democrats, by the secular progressives, by people like George Soros and Antifa and those kinds of groups. So, you know, he's being hit from all sides, but yet he keeps on keeping on. As Jan said, you know, he wasn't the first choice for most Christians.
No.
But when it came down to candidate Trump or candidate Clinton, there wasn't a choice. But I think President Trump has proven himself to be as conservative as any of the other candidates would have been. Maybe be more so. Walker.
And as you mentioned, I'm not sure any president has kept his promises to the extent that President Trump has. And I think this really changes the outlook of voters going into future elections in our country, because the expectation, the bar has been raised on people fulfilling their promises. So I think that's going to go into effect when we're talking about who to vote for in presidential elections to come.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got time for another story or two, Fred.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, college campuses, university campuses, hotbeds of liberalism out there. And one of the things, stories that we have been covering over the last year, and this is going to continue into 2018, is we're now seeing courses on university campuses denouncing what they call white supremacy. And it's absolutely amazing what's going on. And in some campuses, you've got professors who are basically advocating anarchy, the overthrow of the government. These are Marxist-Leninist professors in taxpayer-funded colleges and universities. We have an example for you this morning, folks. This is a professor, Albert Ponce, P-O-N-C-E, of Diablo Valley Community College in Pleasant Hill, California. There's a group out there called Campus Reform. These are young people, conservatives, who are now tracking these kinds of professors and what they're advocating, standing up there in front of young people and what they're advocating. So this is Professor Albert Ponce. This is a lecture he gave just a few weeks ago at this taxpayer-funded community college in Pleasant Hill, California, Diablo Valley Community. It is cut number one.
So we begin with the fact that we exist in a white supremacist, patriarchal, heteronormative capitalist system. And that's the beauty of the law. If you can write it, you can convince all others to follow it, just like all of us do today, when we shouldn't. Many of the laws existing, we should be violating those laws. We do it through the Constitution, which should be called a white man's constitution. And we still get up before every ball game, and we're supposed to, these folks here are supposed to respect that flag. Karl Marx, one of the most profound thinkers in the history of Western philosophy. So it is fitting that a white supremacist of old with white supremacists of today exist and sit there smiling in the White House. Abolition. What does abolition mean? Abolition means we must destroy it, not reform it. No voting is going to help. No writing your congressperson. We need to smash white supremacy. And we try to use legal means, but are legal means enough?
Who's this again?
This is a professor at Diablo Valley Community College, Professor Albert Ponce, P-O-N-C-E. It's a lecture he gave just a few weeks ago.
Well, that's going to give him a lot of good job opportunities across the country when other universities hear what he's saying, because he's only at a junior college level right now.
Yep.
And I'm sure there are many universities who hear that and say, hey, that's the kind of man we want teaching at a major school.
Yeah, but there are schools like the University,
would love to hire
the University of Wisconsin. I was reading somewhere this morning. They have a white supremacy course basically that focuses on that. So it's not just this community college. You may say, that, well, this is just wacky California again. This is happening at university campuses across this country.
Well, he called it the white man's constitution.
Yeah.
Well, it's the white man's constitution that abolished slavery.
Yes.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. Those people like that, like the guy you just heard, are perpetually angry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That he'll never be. He's American. He's, how would you say it? American loathing. You can't please these people. It's always, everything that's wrong in this country is systematic of whatever, in this case, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a problem that can never be solved, right?
Yeah.
And so he teaches this hate America garbage.
Yep.
And you're right. Then these students have to sit there and listen to it. I'm glad somebody taped him so you could hear it for yourself.
Actually, I believe it's Campus Reform. They now have a site on their website where they can go, and they want you to track Marxist-Leninist statements coming from professors across the country. So they're using their cell phones. And they record this going on, and they have a site where you now can go and okay, you're going to expose these professors who are teaching this.
Mm-hmm. Here's another thing, the irony, one of the biggest ironies of this, is that these college campuses claim to be places of where all voices are heard, right?
Yeah.
And they champion diversity, right?
Mm.
Or so they say.
So they say.
Well, they champion diversity as long as you believe in progressivism or liberalism or socialism. That's if you offer ideas that are counter to that,
mm-hmm.
they don't believe in diversity anymore.
That's right.
So it's a, you know, also the reason so many professors are hired like this, and this wouldn't include all studies on campus. I'm sure there are more. I don't what do you call them? Disciplines, or more areas in academia that are more susceptible to this kind of stuff. Then I don't know, you know, somebody who's teaching
cooking
or physical education.
Yeah.
You know, but you get these kind of folks in history and in economics and maybe political science and those kinds of areas. But they, you know, it's groupthink for these people. And a lot of them, maybe not as explicit as this fellow was, as open as he was, but a lot of them believe just like he does. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to this. We need to be careful as Christians, especially where we send our children to college.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's nothing wrong with being exposed to ideas that are different than yours in your college experience, in the classroom or otherwise. That's part of going off and becoming an adult and being able to use your critical thinking skills and to have your assumptions challenged. That's healthy, I think. However, there's a difference between that and going to places that are going to be one class after another, one professor after another, for example, that are going to be hostile to your worldview, hostile to your Christianity, and punish you and or shut you down and or won't even let you, you know what I'm saying, have a discussion. So you just need to be careful where and research and do your homework on where you go to school.
What the professor there is setting up is, imagine if a student dissents.
Oh, wow.
To what he is
teaching. Excuse me, professor, I disagree.
Right. He will immediately be called a Nazi. You're a racist. Right. You're a bigot. You have no place in this country. Get out of my classroom.
That's right.
That's the type of environment that these professors are creating. It is not a let's talk about this subject and share your thoughts.
Right.
It is a here is how America is evil, and if you dissent, you have no place here.
Yeah. But he likes living here.
He likes drawing a salary from our tax dollars.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. In California in this case. But yeah, but you know, I would say to people like this professor, excuse me, sir, where is the better place to live in the world?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where is the better place to live in the world? America's terrible, horrible. Look at our history. I would like to know, where would you suggest around the world as we look at it? Where's the model country for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's the thing. If you don't like America, get out.
Yeah.
You don't have to be here. Mm-hmm. If you want to live in a Marxist, communist, socialist country, there's plenty of them out there.
Yep. Yeah. Move to Cuba.
Cuba or China.
Yep.
If you don't like, you know, go to China or go to another country where, you know, where you can experience the utopia that is progressivism.
But they want to bring us down. They want to bring us to the same level as China and Cuba.
Exactly. As I say, this is the politics of perpetual anger. You can't plea. You'll never be able to. We can't go back and change history.
Right.
We can learn from it. We can grow from it. And also with history, you don't throw everything away because one thing was bad.
Right.
You know, you acknowledge where errors were made, where there was injustices done, where there was misdeeds done. But you don't say, therefore, the whole enterprise is illegitimate.
Yeah.
That's what these people do.
That's right.
Right.
As I said, with these football players who were taking a knee, you know, they're going to be taking a knee now till Jesus comes back.
Yes.
Because you're never going to find a perfect country.
No.
All right? And if you quit kneeling this week, next week something's going to happen in San Antonio with a police officer and a black man, and they're going to say, oh, my goodness, we got to kneel again. You know, I'm just saying this is never solvable if you take these people's reasoning. We'll be back momentarily.